Hey there, welcome to the Student to CEO podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Mason. We're talking to entrepreneurs who launched their business at a young age and they're now killing the game. Tune in to our episodes as these guests spill the dirt on taking that leap into entrepreneurship just like they did. Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode of the Student to CEO podcast. I'm super excited to have Ethan Hirschberg as today's guest. Ethan is the founder of Ethan's, a Boulder, Colorado-based functional shot company launched in 2017. Born on Stonyfield Farm and raised by organic food entrepreneurs, Ethan has had both food and business in his blood since day one and therefore started Ethan's to create on-the-go health solutions. Ethan, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Ashley, and congrats on the podcast.
Thank you. I'm excited to have you here, and I know that our listeners would love for you to start out with by talking about what you actually do with Ethan's and what led you there.
Yeah, so that's a nice little intro that we write on the website and stuff, but I think sometimes people are like, wait, so on-the-go health solutions, what does all that mean? So quick summary of the company, and obviously we'll kind of get into all the nitty-gritty and details, but like I was telling you sort of before we jumped on here, I launched it in 2017, so almost 3 years ago, out of a really kind of basic and simple goal, which was to solve this issue that like any kind of major health geek might have encountered, but which is to make apple cider vinegar taste better. So I was taking it every day, straight, like, you know, buying the Bragg's bottle and like pouring out a shot. Having awesome benefits and effects, but like anyone who's done that before kind of knows what happens, which is you can barely even look at the bottle after like a few days. So just because it tastes so rough. So that was really where it all started. And then since then, it's been this kind of crazy roller coaster, wild ride of innovating and, trying to stay competitive and adjusting packaging and making new products. And so fast forward to today, and we now have, we have like 15 different shots. That number is sort of always in flux, but so we're making, in addition to the original kind of legacy apple cider vinegar shots, which we now call Daily Detox, we make MCT oil shots, we make immunity shots, we make organic energy shots, and have a lot of innovation also in the pipeline. So it's kind of, like I said, I mean, this is what happens as you know, when you start something is you never really know where it's going to end up. But proud to say that, you know, we're nationally distributed in Whole Foods and Sprouts and basically all the kind of natural food stores, and just launched like in the last couple of weeks in Walmart and CVS and some of those other ones. So definitely finding a lot of traction. So that's exciting.
That's amazing. And one thing that absolutely stands out to me in regards to your story is just how quickly you grew and how quickly things changed. So what do you think led to that and led to kind of starting at one point and then almost making like a 180 and rapidly moving forward?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's any like business success or failure, I think, is just based off the combination of luck, as in, you know, which usually means timing. And that was a huge factor for us, but also, you know, how you respond and react and how quickly you can do that is a huge determinant too. Like if we were still just an apple cider vinegar shot company in our old packaging and our old bottles, like we'd probably be dead by now. So, definitely a combination of, when we launched, there's obviously been this kind of like strong undercurrent of natural and organic foods and health and wellness in general, which is only accelerated by COVID. But that was sort of like the larger wave. But within that, we were really, again, like I said, I just sort of jumped in to solve my own personal problem and realized that a lot of other people were having the same one. But that's because apple cider vinegar as an ingredient was gaining a lot of popularity and kind of notoriety on blogs and things like that. And then really like the main thing that we just kind of honestly stumbled backwards into, that's been, you know, kind of the reason for all our success so far is this idea of a functional shot. And it was one that honestly, it just made sense to me and it made sense to the people around me. And it's something that has resonated a lot with customers. So it's a really good timing on all of that. But then, like I said, just making quick adjustments and changes in order to stay competitive and stay alive.
Yeah, definitely. And I love that your business was really built on the fact that you had a personal problem and that you wanted to find the solution to it and realize that other people faced or struggled with the same thing. And I know that oftentimes with a lot of entrepreneurs, of course, we're super passionate about the businesses that we built, but I think that there's something even more so amazing and incredible about being able to build a business that is directly benefiting something we ourselves faced. And so I really admire that about your journey with Ethan's.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a pretty common starting point for a lot of people for a good reason, which is that if you're having a problem in your daily life, chances are there are a good amount of people, and that, you know, how big that number is obviously has a lot of impact on your business and idea, but there are definitely other people having the same problem. And I think that's like, you know, that's usually where things start out is, I mean, you'll get into this, and this is the reason that you started what you're doing, but a lot of people just go into a job, generally kind of corporate world, and then some identify a problem that needs to be solved or that isn't being solved, you know, whether business or in their own kind of just personal daily lives, and they seek to fix that. And so when I invented that original product, I was actually working at a beverage company. So there was, you know, there is a little bit of kind of background and industry knowledge there, which has been really helpful, but I don't necessarily think it's a prerequisite.
Awesome. So knowing that you grew so quickly and started in almost 3 years ago or about 3 years ago, what was the most difficult part of starting Ethan's and growing?
Oh my God. What was the most difficult part? I mean, every step has been difficult. I think honestly, like for me, I mean, this is my first venture, right? And so, most people out there hoping or thinking about starting a business, like it's their first time. And it's really just sort of, in those early days, you obviously have no idea what you're doing, but you know, I still don't really know what I'm doing. Right. And so it's just a mentality adjustment and like getting over the fact that, okay, so you don't know what you're doing and that's fine. It doesn't make you a fraud. It doesn't make you fake. It doesn't make you anything bad. Like, if anything, kudos to you for jumping into the deep end. Right. And so like, for me, it was kind of just overcoming that, not like insecurity, but just, you know, looking around and seeing like, you know, competitors pop up that are better funded or have better kind of industry experience, or people are older and more established or whatever it may be. And just sort of like pushing past that into the mentality of, you know, if they can do it, then so can I. But man, honestly, I mean, I don't know. It depends how in the weeds you want to get. But everything about starting a business is difficult and there is no getting around that. I mean, I wonder if there's any entrepreneur out there who would dispute what I just said, because I think one in a million have kind of an easy, smooth ride. But I've never spoken to an entrepreneur that has had success or failure on any level that hasn't said, you know, that every step of the way is difficult, but, you know, hopefully it's worth it.
Yeah, seriously. And I love that you mentioned that just getting over that mindset was kind of like your biggest struggle and realizing that you can't really compare someone's end to your beginning. And I know that that was something personally that like I struggled with, was really that imposter syndrome, especially being young, which I know a lot of people can relate to with being young. You're like, well, I'm only 19 something or 20 something years old. Like, what do I know? And there's people who have been doing this for 20 something years. Why would someone hire me or purchase my products compared to someone else who's been in the game much longer? So I love that you kind of talked about that fact that just being able to get over that hump and get past that mindset and switch the way that you view things can really help you keep moving forward.
Yeah. And that's where it can be such an asset to just know your weaknesses, right? Because the fact of the matter is, I mean, you are young and I'm older than I was when I started, but I was pretty young too when we first launched. And I mean, I am still, but, and you know, I think that's okay. And not knowing things is okay. And this is where, you know, you'll also hear a lot of the time, it's like, hire people smarter than you, right? Like, it's okay if you don't know everything, but you have to be super honest with yourself about what your shortcomings and weaknesses are. And then, you know, you can make up a certain amount of that with just pure elbow grease, but there's always a limitation on that. And then, you know, to be totally honest, like, I think some of that is actually not made up, like it is real, because some people will, especially with the age thing. But I mean, there's a million reasons why when you're starting, people will look at you, you know, and maybe some people will think the same things that you do, like this person doesn't know what they're doing and they don't know anything, or they're too young, or whatever. And so, you know, you kind of have to push through that just the same.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing too that I found has helped is that sometimes when people reflect their opinions outward, it's not a reflection of you, it's a reflection of them. So kind of like understanding that too is like what people say and what people think is because of something that they're facing internally, and it realistically has nothing to do with you. So I think that keeping that in mind as you keep moving forward and building your business and scaling it to what you really dream it to be can be really valuable.
Yeah. Well, and also like it doesn't serve you. So, you know, maybe they think that you're too inexperienced in something, and maybe you are, but like, even if they're right, it doesn't help you advance your business. So that stuff kind of just has to go in one ear and out the other.
Yes, exactly. So with the all success that you've had, what do you think led you there?
Ooh, well, I don't know if I would call it a success yet. We're still, you know, dealing with all sorts of early stage problems. But it's funny, like when you start to take things for granted, right? Like a year ago, I would kill to be where I am now, and then a year before that, I would kill to be, you know, there. So you gotta always keep those things in perspective. So what was the question? What led us here?
Yeah, what led to your success?
Yeah, well, so like I always talk about this. On every kind of, in every conversation I have, I just, every business is different, obviously, and every industry is different. For us, it's been like, there've been a few kind of key, cornerstone attitudes, or like rules that we try to stick to. And those have kind of just been like the guiding lights in more difficult times. And the main one, honestly, is like I kind of touched on it at the beginning, but is kind of like that adaptability and flexibility. And it's an interesting balance, and one that I've kind of like thought about and talked about a good amount, because you don't want to just go anywhere the wind blows either. But I think being reactive and being quick, because the other reality of starting a business is 99.9% of the time, you're not going to have it right at first. So we definitely didn't have it right. I mean, I can't even tell you, like our company and even the original products look so, and even taste very different than they did when we started. And we had everything wrong. I mean, we had a couple little things right, but we had to it was like a constant process of tweaking and improving every single tiny little aspect of our product and our brand. And that is still going on, you know, on a daily basis. Like I literally just got samples from our most recent production run that we, you know, my head of R&D and I tweaked a couple ingredients, like, you know, a matter of like percentage points. And it just never stops. And I think it's like, it's an attitude that has served us really well. And one, like if I were to kind of recommend one thing for anybody starting out, it's just to keep that in mind, you know, like what you set out with is not what you're going to end up with. So you have to be open to change and changing quickly on the way.
Yeah, absolutely. And in terms of like that adaptability and flexibility, it comes from both internal and external changes. Like as you mentioned earlier, with everything that's happening with the pandemic, I mean, a lot of businesses really have to have that adaptability and flexibility in order to keep moving forward. So I think that those are two traits that a lot of companies should really be focusing on. And it's great that that's been kind of one of your key cornerstones moving forward.
Yeah. And I think the biggest obstacle to that typically is like, you know, who you have, what you have for fundraising, and who you have kind of in your boardroom. And some of those things are out of your control, but some of them are not. And, you know, this is going down a whole other rabbit hole, but just being really selective about who you bring in. There's a lot of capital out there for good ideas, and bringing in people who sort of support your vision and most importantly, support you and your decision-making, so that, you know, in order to make an adjustment based off something that I could have never foreseen, like COVID, like I don't have to run it through our quarterly board meeting and, you know, and get left in the dust by other companies that were able to move faster.
Yes, definitely. So knowing that this is what really led to your success with the adaptability and flexibility, going along with that, what has been the most rewarding part of starting Ethan's?
By far the best and most rewarding part is like I have my email on every bottle. And I've, a lot of people think that's a gimmick. It's like, that's my email. It comes to me. And like the testimonials that we get are by far my favorite part. And people don't even realize how big of a difference it makes. Seriously. Like when you're slaving away at something, you know, behind the scenes for years. And you know, yeah, you have some successes. You also have a lot of failures, and, you know, the daily grind of it is, you know, it can be as bad or worse than any job. Right. And so like waking up some days and getting like just a glowing email about how someone's like blood pressure has gone down or their cholesterol has gone down, or like they're getting better energy than they ever were before, and therefore able to get better workouts or whatever those are. I mean, we get testimonials all the time that like seriously make my day. And then I just forward them to the whole team and people just love it. And like interacting with customers has been another kind of big cornerstone that we've tried to stick to, is like getting rid of all the barriers. Like people who buy a bottle, like they can just email me. And so that's something that kind of makes our day. Obviously we get some that aren't quite so glowing, especially like we have these fire cider shots that are like apple cider vinegar and onion, garlic, habanero, horseradish. And like, I get some that aren't, like people don't know what they're getting into. They might be a little less kind. So
I love that though. And I feel like that's totally what sets you apart from other functional shot companies, is the fact that A, you have your email on the bottles. I've never heard or seen of a company doing that. So I think that absolutely differentiates you. And two, just really wanting to remove that barrier of communicating with your customers, because that's another thing that is seen often, is that sometimes the CEO is like stereotyped as this big person who doesn't want to really connect with anyone and they're just above everyone and all of this stuff. But really a CEO, or some of the best CEOs, are the ones who talk to everyone and really make that effort to speak with people and communicate, especially with their customer base.
Yeah, I mean, I did a webinar with Andrew Abraham, who's the founder of Orgain, which is like it's like an organic protein company. And they're huge. I mean, they're a million times the size of us. And he said up until like a couple months ago, their entire product development department was just him. And he's like up until pretty recently was answering the phones himself, answering emails. He's a doctor. So like, you know, I think there's a lot to be said for that, especially in food and like obviously a CPG or customer facing business. It's like, who's going to shoot you straighter than the person that just paid their hard earned money for the product that you made. Right. And so it's like, the closer you can stay to that, the better off you're going to be. And I mean, I know people are coming from a variety of different industries, but I think there's sort of a lot to be learned from that and applied to basically anything.
Right. And exactly going along with the testimonials that you mentioned, I mean, I can absolutely imagine that when you're going through the long days and the difficult situations and things like that, just simply receiving one testimonial within your inbox can like completely change your entire mood, perspective, and how your day is going. So it really is little things that do make all the difference. And it's just nice to hear that you get to directly hear and see those testimonials from customers and how something like Ethan's is absolutely helping with health and wellness issues that they're facing.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, the negative feedback is honestly, it's you asked kind of what like the best part is, but the negative feedback is just as helpful too. Like we had a production run, you know, not that long ago. And I got a number of emails being like, hey, I think it tastes different and like a little bit worse, you know? So then we're able to go back and kind of, you know, see if there was something that went wrong. Did we add too much of an ingredient? Did something happen there? So, you know, I mean, the negative is really valuable too.
Yeah, definitely. So if there was one thing that you wish you did differently, or something that you know now that you wish you knew then, what would it be and why?
Oh my God. This is like the unanswerable question. I mean, I have some pretty like industry specific kind of mistakes, I guess that we made. What would I do differently? Well, I mean, because like everything that we've changed, right, we would have done differently. Like if I could have started, you know, I would have launched with like our current product set instead of like, you know. So one funny one is, we launched these apple cider vinegar shots that, you know, I made them in my own kitchen, and basically just had them tested by friends and family. And I was like, cool, we're good to go. And then like, you know, a handful of people liked them. And then, and so we launched with three, and then I immediately launched three more. Like I was like, everyone needs more. They need a beet one and a cherry one and a blueberry one. And then like flash forward 2 years later and we're down to two, you know, like still the same top two that we launched with. And so getting a little bit overzealous and excited, you know, I mean, you
kind
never
like
know
shiny
which,
object syndrome almost.
Totally. Yeah. And I mean, I'm like, I think entrepreneurs in general, like I'm so guilty of shiny object syndrome. I go after like anything and everything, but, another one, this is kind of a funny one. We had a misprint on a huge packaging run that said vegan on a product that had honey in it. And I got like ripped to shreds for a year. And I had no idea that honey wasn't vegan. But,
I actually wouldn't have known that either.
Yeah. I was, so like it said it right on the packaging, like organic, vegan, gluten-free. And then, you know, not to offend anyone, but I think if the last people you want to piss off are vegans. So that was one that I would definitely change because I think it made a lot of people mad at us.
That's funny. But yeah, it kind of goes to show that like sometimes we are thinking so much ahead about like the bigger problems that little things like that slip through, but it also reminds us that we're human. So it's like we make mistakes. It's okay. And sometimes that those mistakes are what really tie a customer base to you because it shows that you're not this big, perfect company that people often position companies as. You're kind of just like other people, which is nice.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, we don't want to make mistakes that affect our customers in a negative way, but there is sort of a sense of community, I think, and especially now, I mean, the opportunity to build community just purely through social or even through some of the, I mean, just the pure access that you have, now or can have, is such an asset. And so, you know, like when I get one of those emails that's complaining, you know, I'm able to say like, hey, sorry, we made a mistake. And generally people are really pretty understanding and they're just happy to have gotten a response. So I think that's where that human aspect really comes into play.
Yeah, definitely. Like that one little email or social post or anything like that, just kind of acknowledging that is something that means a lot to people and shows that you really do care about your customers and you've shown that in so many different ways and want to make sure that you continue to have their loyalty moving forward.
Yeah. And it's something we have the liberty to do now, that, you know, 30 years ago, there was no, like, what are they going to send a fax or something, you know? And so it can be a huge asset.
Yeah, absolutely. And so one thing that I think is incredibly interesting and super accomplished of Ethan's is that you've been featured in so many well-known and prominent publications. So what would you say led you to getting featured in places like that? Because I know that PR is a huge thing that a lot of entrepreneurs, whether they're just starting out or they've been in their business for a few years, really want to focus on and perfect. So what do you think led to those features and press and all of that stuff?
Yeah. So like, obviously, I mean, the best kind of press is organic press, you know, where it's like somebody finds you or even like you know, they use your product or whatever. And press has been super important for us. And it's something that when I started, I was like, I don't care about press. We're not going to hire a PR agency. Like, this is ridiculous, you know? Like, let's just make the product. People will love it and we'll sell a bunch of it. But, you know, obviously I think marketing, like I came from an R&D and product development background. So marketing and sales have both just been, you know, kind of steep learning curves for me. I think like what's resulted in us getting attention is just kind of sticking to doing the right thing. So by that, I just mean like, you know, all these things that we drill down on and focus on, like, you know, internally, organic being a big one. Glass packaging has been a huge one, especially as like even 3 years ago, there wasn't anywhere near the hate and vitriol for plastic that there is, for especially single-use plastics that there is now. So that was one where it was like, we're doing this. Yes, plastic would be easier, but like, we're just going to stick to it. And then we've kind of like earned media through that, just by like kind of sticking to our guns.
Yeah. And with the press, have you found that being featured and basically included in all these different publications, is that what led you to being included in stores, or was it the opposite? Like, you were included in stores and able to sell your product in stores and then got the press from it?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. I mean, I would say more the latter. Like, I think just gaining distribution and starting to, like, you know, kind of put yourself on the map, is the easiest thing you can do to gain attention. And you know, they don't want to put you in their article if you're just making shots in your garage, right? So there is a certain level of like, oh, well, check out what these guys are doing and they're finding success doing it. Like, I think that's always the most interesting story for people, is like, you know, this is successful and why. And so, yeah, I think it's definitely more in that direction. And it's funny with media in general, like I think you can kind of get the vibe. Like, I'll jump on any podcast or webinar or anything anytime, because I love talking. I love like about what we're doing and I love reaching people. You never really know what's going to hit. Like, you know, we've had like what I thought were pretty big media gets that like just nothing happened. And then, you know, there was one article about someone took our shots for 30 days and had like a really good experience and they wrote about it. And then it got like circulated on MSN and it became like this huge thing for us. So wow. You never really know. And I think that's like, that's why as a company, you just have to, you know, not be like snobbish about who you're talking to, because everybody can hear the message.
Exactly. And I think that's a great point too, is that sometimes people, especially when they're just looking to start getting press, they're kind of really focused on the bigger picture goals of getting in Forbes and Inc. and all of those amazing publications. But what they don't realize is that starting out with those smaller ones and those blogs or podcasts and things like that can really be like the stepping stones that lead to that bigger one, because you always have those opportunities to reach different people in all different places.
Oh yeah. And I mean, at least for like, again, for a CPG brand, like having a small but passionate audience. So, you know, maybe they discovered you on like their friend's Instagram or something like that. Like, it can be something as small as that. That is way more valuable than having like a way bigger consumer base who's like, yeah, I like it. It's okay. But they don't know or really care about your brand, because like the former situation, like that's going to lead to genuine word of mouth, which is by far the best marketing there is. And also just like, you know, I mean, think about it. We all have those few brands that like we will swear by and talk about at the dinner table. And I think like we absolutely aspire to be one of those, even if it's, you know, for a smaller group of people.
Yeah. And I love that point that you made about having a smaller engaged community is way more important than focusing on bigger ones, because that's one thing I say, like being in marketing myself, is that the quality of your audience is way more important than the quantity, for the exact reason that you said, is that you want to have those people who basically live and breathe your brand and will want to be the ones who are having that brand loyalty and sharing it with anyone and everyone they know, and helping you continue to spread the message in an organic, authentic way.
Yeah. And I mean, the same applies to media and influencers. And that's been a pretty funny one. Cause again, like I don't even like have my own personal social media. I'm like living in the dark ages on that stuff. like when we launched, a bunch of people were like, oh, you should, you know, you have to do paid influencer stuff. And here's these guys, they have 200, 300, 400,000 followers. Like, you just pay them, you know, $500-$600 and they will story about your product or whatever. And I was like, okay, sure, let's try that. And you know, you do those and nothing happens. And then randomly, like, you know, just an example is like, there was this woman in Boston. I think she had like 30,000 followers on Instagram or something, like nothing like crazy out of the ordinary, but she just posted this like totally organic, authentic, like raving review about how our products helped her digestion. And like, we literally saw an increase in sales in like the greater Boston area, like at Whole Foods. It was pretty amazing, you know.
Wow.
Like, so it's like, I think the same thing that you just talked about, it also applies to media and, you know, like I said, just influencers, because in the first situation, it's like, yeah, so maybe they have those huge numbers, but they're used to seeing paid ads on that person's page and it doesn't really mean anything to them. Whereas like, you take this smaller concentration of people who obviously really actually care what this influencer in Boston is saying and like what she uses, and they're going to actually go act on it. And so I think that was a big lesson. Like, we haven't paid for a single post since then. And that was like 2.5 years ago.
Wow. I know. Seriously. It's crazy how like the smaller audiences can really make such a big difference. And like you said, I mean, to doing all of that research into media and influencers and things, really make sure that you're doing the best for your brand, because you of course want to make sure you have someone who's representing your brand in the way that you want it to be. So it's like, as you said, having that account with 30,000 followers compared to the 400 or 500,000 followers can really make a huge difference in sales, which is ultimately what you want from it.
Yeah. And just like passion and engagement. So, I mean, I'm far from an expert, and we do have a PR firm, and we've cycled through about four, but we have one that we like right now. So it's not like we're not doing any of that, but yeah, media is obviously huge, especially if you're sort of on like the innovative side of things.
Yeah, definitely. And so Ethan, since you are a young founder too, what would you say why it's so important for people to start businesses at a young age?
Oh, well, in my own personal experience, like, I don't know if I would have been able to do this with a wife and kids. And I know people do, but seriously for me, like, that's just been, so I launched I was 26 when I started, like working on it, 27 when we launched. So, that like there's the personal side of things, which is, you know, just to be totally frank, like less responsibility, right? And like, because you kind of give your life to your business. And that's not to say you can't do it, because tons of people have. My dad did it. But for me, that's been kind of a huge element. It's like the amount that I'm able to pour into this business, for better or for worse. But and I also just think it's like, you know, you have to just start. And that's like anything. And I really believe like the longer you wait, the bigger of a obstacle it becomes. And so you're young, you have energy, you have an idea, like you have to just start, before you get, you know, down a different path where then you have a safer career that you're afraid to abandon or anything. Like, it's like when you're young, you have nothing to lose, really.
Right.
I mean, yeah, you can lose time and other people's money, and those things are, or your own money. And those things are not at all to be discounted or scoffed at, but I don't think there's a better time to launch into something than, you know, in your 20s, or I guess in your case, 19.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's just having a lower risk in that aspect, where it's like, if you start younger, then when you don't really have those full responsibilities, if it doesn't work out, it's okay, because you still have time to keep moving forward and find another career path that may work for you. And also how I like to look at it as is like, the younger you start, the more time you have to make an impact. I mean, if you started when you were like maybe 50 something, you'd be where you are now. So it's like, you just have so many more years to be able to keep making improvements and keep growing and just build Ethan's to be something so much bigger than you ever thought it could be.
Yeah, I definitely feel that. Like, I don't feel as much of a cap on any timeline. And I think just to, you know, it's not just about if it doesn't work out, you're in a better position. It's that it liberates you to do more and put more in and work harder, at least in my experience. And I don't want to speak for everybody, but that is more likely to translate into success, you know, than if you're spread too thin. And again, I know a ton of people who have done it at various stages, and there's definitely more than one way to skin that cat, but that's definitely been my personal experience.
Yes, absolutely. So what's the last piece of advice that you would like to leave with our listeners for someone who may be just starting out?
Yeah, well, along those lines, I mean, I this is what I always say on any of these is, A, you have to start. Like, anyone can have an idea. And that's not to say your idea isn't good, but if you don't start, then nothing's ever going to come of it. And it'll just be a thing that you know, had an idea about one time. But more important than that, like, this is kind of the most important thing for me, is like, you can only do one thing well at a time, and you just have to do the next thing, and don't think too long term, and don't, you know, I was just on a podcast pretty recently where I said, like, if I had tried to imagine or spent too much time imagining 5-10 years out, like, how do we become this big food, big, powerful food and beverage company or whatever, you know, with all this distribution and, you know, how do we reach that? Then, like, I would have been way more intimidated than the process that I followed, which was like, in my kitchen, like, today I'm going to wake up and make the ginger flavored apple cider vinegar product. Like, tomorrow I'll work on the turmeric one, you know, then like, I'm going to call some bottle suppliers, you know, and like, and then like, I'm going to find a designer and we're going to work on the labeling together. And like, I just went one thing at a time. And again, just talking about my experience, like, that was the most crucial part about the process for me, was just being disciplined about not like getting freaked out about the scale of everything, and just like, you know, only looking one step ahead of yourself.
Right. It's almost like it's better to focus on perfecting one thing before moving on to another, so that way you really feel like you have everything completely managed rather than trying to juggle like 50 different balls in the air at one time and not knowing where to dedicate your time or making sure that they're actually going through properly and doing so in the best possible way.
Yeah. And that's not to say, I mean, there have obviously been tons of times where I'm like, we need to do this as fast as possible, or we're going to be screwed, or, you know, whatever, you get a little freaked out, but it's always about kind of coming back to that. Like, okay, so when I wake up this morning, like, you know, you have to put your clothes on first. Right. And so like, and then like, what are you going to do today to advance the, you know, the whole thing. And even if it's just a tiny little thing that you've been putting off or whatever, it's like, you have to do that. And then you can do the things after it.
Yes, definitely. Well, Ethan, you've shared so much amazing advice and insight about how you started your company and how you grew from there. And I'd love if you could leave our listeners where they can find you online. So that way, if they'd like to connect further or ask any questions, they know how to get in touch with you.
Yeah, definitely. Good way to wrap. So the website, ethans.com, bought it for $500. That was one of those little steps along the way there. I was like, oh, if I'm going to call it this, I should probably get the URL. So yeah, ethans.com is the website. There's contact forms on there, e-commerce on there. We're available to buy on Amazon as well. And then, like I said, I mean, the email is ethan@ethans.com. So pretty tough to miss. yeah, and anyone and everyone should always feel free to reach out or give us a try. And then, like I said, it's, products available. I mean, we have a store locator on the website too, and the products are available at Whole Foods nationwide and you know, a handful of others.
Yeah. Awesome. And I'll make sure to leave those links in the show notes as well. So that way, if anyone missed those, they can make sure to click through and get in touch with you that way.
That'd be awesome.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Ethan, so much for coming on the show. It's been truly a pleasure.
Yeah. Thanks, Ashley. That was fun.
Thanks so much for listening today. I'd love it if you could subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with those who could use it most. For show notes and more information, go to studenttoceo.com/podcast.